And we thank you, Lord. It's like an earthquake in the ocean. And the ripples have started. And it looks small at first, like nothing's happening. But as it moves, it builds in intensity. And it builds and it builds into a great tsunami wave. And so we thank you, Lord, that it has begun. And Lord, we look to you for direction and guidance and to try to stay out of the way, Father, and work with you and cooperate with you. And we thank you, Father, for your goodness and your graciousness. And Lord, we thank you today for the Word of God, this light and truth and revelation, light unto our path that guides us, feeds our spirit, renews our mind, brings health and healing to our bodies. Your Word is life, Father, to us. So we thank you, Father. I ask for utterance today. I ask for boldness, clarity of speech, irresistible words, Lord. Lord, I pray for the congregation that they may hear like never before. And Lord, pay attention and then respond to the Spirit of God and act on the Word. And Father, that they'd be bold and fearless about acting on the Word of God today. No hesitation. And whenever we act on the Word, Father, we're blessed. So thank you, Lord. Demonstrate your goodness, your power, and your love in this place today. And Father, we walk out of here transformed in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Okay. Is my mic on? Okay. Okay. Well, praise God. Glad you're here today. We're going to continue with the 7 big habits for explosive personal growth today. And if you weren't here last Sunday, or even if you were here, my Pastor Susie did a message on explosive empowerment. You need to get that CD, and you need to get it and listen to it over several times. Because if we want to have explosive empowerment, we're going to have faith. It's impossible to please Him without faith. And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So get that CD and let it feed your spirit, let it build faith for what God wants to do for us in 2011. Well, let me ask you some questions here, because we're talking about habits and forming new habits and letting go of things. And I'm just going to mention some areas that we had a little smaller group here first service, and people were shouting out things. It'd be a little confusing here, but let me just say some areas. And if you picked up, maybe it's a new habit, maybe it's an old habit, but if you pick this up in 2011, I want you to raise your hand, and it may be multiple things. Who's picked up on the habit of walking for exercise? Who's picked up on the habit of eating healthier? How about exercise? How about being nice to your wife? You need to get in the habit of doing that. How about prayer? How about, in growing up, we used to call it quiet time, but studying the Word. How about walking in love? Praise God. Amen. And, anytime you reach for something, you let go of something else. So hopefully, and sometimes those things we're letting go of are good things, but we want the best. We want God's best. You have your Bibles turned to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We had one of the best Mighty Men's meetings yesterday that we've had so far in the last year. It was awesome. And you'll be hearing more about that for the men of the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continually, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, all seven big habits that we're talking about are found in Acts chapter 2. Who remembers the first habit?
Fellowship.
And fellowship is? Sharing. What's the second habit? Renewing your mind. What's the third habit? What's the fourth habit?
Prayer.
And today's habit is part B of prayer. There's so much there in prayer, we've got to do two parts. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6. So this is prayer. This is explosive habit number 4. In the second part B, encourage you to get the other CD because we're building upon that foundation. But Ephesians 6, verse 17 says this, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." But I want you to notice that part, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Everybody say, in the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
There's two types of prayer in the Spirit. The first type is prayer in a known language. And that's where the Holy Spirit is guiding you. And we talked about prayer, praying according to the Word. And so your mind understands the words. And hopefully everybody here is speaking English, because you couldn't understand me if you don't speak English. But you're praying in a known language, your known language. You understand the words that are being spoken. The second type of prayer in the Spirit is prayer in an unknown language. Now, what are you talking about there? Prayer in an unknown language where you're saying words, but your mind doesn't understand. It's a mystery. And you do not understand the words that you're saying. It may sound like gibberish. People around you don't understand what you're saying. You don't even understand what you're saying. And this prayer, we'll get into it. It's a prayer of the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God in you praying. So turn to 1 Corinthians 14. And now, you may be looking at me like, what in the world is he talking about? But you'll see in a minute here. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. And I'm going to read all the rest of my scriptures, most of them in the Amplified Version. And the Amplified Version does just what it says. It amplifies words. It takes meanings of words, because the Greek is a deeper, richer language than English. And so it'll add a little bit to it just to help us understand. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 says this, "For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths," I said mysteries, "and hidden truths not obvious to the understanding." Now, the Holy Spirit gives you the utterance, but he doesn't do the speaking for you. And that's where it's going to take us yielding to him and us cooperating with him, because unlike the other side, the enemy, the devil, and his forces, he likes to force and drive and put you into slavery and bondage. God's not that way. He's gentle. He's loving. He's kind. And so the Spirit of God that's in us will give us utterance, but he's not going to make us pray and pray in an unknown language. We have to actually yield ourselves and actually speak it out. And so when the Spirit hits that natural, you get the supernatural. All right, you're right there in 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go to verse 14, excuse me, Amplified Version. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. Then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that was within me, but I also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that's within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also." New King James says, "I will pray in the Spirit meaning I will pray in an unknown language. Then I will pray with my understanding. I will pray with a known language. So when I pray this way, I'll ask the Lord, because I'm praying about things in this unknown language that my mind doesn't understand. So I know it's a blessing because God's leading me to do it, but I don't really understand the blessing at this point. I can't really sense it. And so, good things are happening. So what I'm asking God for is, when I'm praying this, my mind's not understanding, and I ask the Lord, because, if you ask, He'll give it to you. I said, Father, help me interpret this back to my mind so my mind will be fruitful. And He may give it to me then. I've had that happen. But many times it'll come later. But I put my faith out there to believe that what I'm praying about that I don't understand, that I'll be able to understand it later. Y'all look like you're getting this. Okay. Now let's go over to verse 18, same chapter, verse 18. Now the Apostle Paul wrote this book to Corinth. He wrote it to the church. And I'm going to say this. Now this is my theory. I've not read this. No one's told me this. This is a theory, so don't quote me on it. But I believe besides Jesus, the Apostle Paul had the most revelation of any person in all of history. That's a pretty big statement there. He brought to the church, by revelation from God, who we are in Christ. He brought by revelation the meaning of the gospel, the power of the gospel. He brought by revelation, the working of the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, all these things that we're living on today, He was the first one to utter these things. When I was in Peru, I had the privilege of ministering at a jungle Bible school. And it was really awesome. We had to walk about an hour. Our bus got stuck in the mud. And we had to walk to this jungle, in the Amazon jungle. And it was a jungle. It's a jungle out there. And so we walked, and I'm going to be doing the session that day, and my topic's going to be righteousness. And so I get to this, it was really cool. It was this, it had a roof and just poles, but it was outdoors. They had concrete blocks and a wood bench. And we had this group of people there, and you could tell they were wanting to hear from God. You have this white guy coming out of the jungle. They're like, who is this guy? And my topic is righteousness. And I love the study of righteousness. So I'm teaching on this, and I'm getting started, and I'm reading from my Bible, and I have the interpreter with me. And he goes through, and I start talking, and the interpreter stops me, and we know each other, and so we can communicate. He says to me, there is no word for righteousness in the Spanish language. The word that you're saying to them is justice. They've never heard the message on righteousness. Maybe not put that way. So can you imagine me trying to communicate? It really changed the whole message. I wish I had a tape of that, CD of that, because trying to communicate to them this topic that they didn't have a word for, it really challenged me. But I believe they got it by the end of the 2-hour-long session. No. But I say all that to read verse 18. Paul says this, I thank God that I speak in strange tongues and languages more than any of you put together. Was there a correlation between him praying in tongues, praying in an unknown language, and revelation? I believe that there was. Now it's interesting, me standing here in front of this group, and I don't know what size group Paul's ministering to, but it's pretty arrogant and bold for him to stand there and say, it's like me to say this, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than all of you put together. It is true for me, but I don't want to brag. But let's talk about the benefits. And also, there's many benefits. We're just going to read and talk about one of them. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And you may have heard of it as praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, praying in unknown language is the way I'm saying it today. I kind of like that, because that's what it is, descriptive. Because, you know, when you say tongues, it's been so divisive in the body of Christ. And it really just comes from a misunderstanding, because if we're going to say we're a New Testament church, then we ought to have what it says in the New Testament. I don't understand how we can kind of pick and choose what we want to have. That makes no sense to me. And I'm open. If there's things I'm missing in here, I'm having my eyes open. If there's something I'm missing in here, I want to know it, because I want to be a New Testament church. When you got a name like Good News Church, it ought to be from the Word, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 26. So too, amplified, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray to offer or how to offer it worthily as we ought. Have you ever had that where you're praying and you just don't know what to say next? Or maybe you don't have words to describe what you're seeing? And I've had people say that, I don't know how to pray as I ought. That's what New King James says. But the Spirit in Himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings. I mean, you can't say it in your language, and groanings too deep for utterance in your language. So what it is, it's a language of the Spirit, and what it is, it's the Holy Spirit praying through you. And the beauty of it, the Scripture says, you're praying the perfect will of God. Now, I don't know about you, if we're going to pray, I mean, we all want to do things to get results. Does anybody do things to not get results? Duh. We do things to get results. And if there was a way I could pray the perfect will of God every time, doesn't that seem like a good thing? How could that hurt me to pray the perfect will of God? I don't understand how that could hurt me. But that's what it's saying. Now, I don't have time to go into it. There's a book by Brother Hagin. We've been showing Brother Hagin is someone that's influenced Susie and I greatly in our lives, and he's in heaven. But we're showing a DVD of him in the our School for Life class. Who's all been coming to that? Y'all been enjoying that? But we've got a book in the Resource Center, and Rhonda, if anybody asks, you help them. It's a book called Why Tongues, and I think it's only a dollar. Is that what it is? It's a dollar. It's a great investment. But in their back part of that book, it has the benefits of praying in an unknown language. And get that, because I don't have time today to go over all that. But here's some of the benefits. It builds you up. It charges you like a battery. Stimulates your faith, because you have to pray that next word. You do it by faith, because you don't know what it is. It helps you express what's in your heart when you don't know what to say in your own language. It quiets your mind. Have you ever had your mind racing with so many thoughts? When you pray in that unknown language, the language of the Spirit, because the reason being is it comes from in here. It comes from in here, not from here. See, when I'm talking right now, my mind has to stop and hear what I'm saying. But when you're praying in an unknown language by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit language, you can think about anything. Because your lips are, this sounds weird, but your lips are yielded to the Holy Spirit, so it's connected, but it's not through your mind, it's from the Spirit within you, through your Spirit coming out in your words. So I can actually think about things. And when you train yourself to pray this way, and I didn't always know this, because it comes from in here, I train myself to quiet my mind and look inward. Because I want to focus in on God.
Hallelujah.
I don't want to come out of that prayer time having just planned my whole lunch menu. I could do that anytime.
Praise the Lord.
So I pray in the Spirit, and then I ask Him for the interpretation, and you want that, those, and He wants to reveal the mysteries to us. He wants to, I mean, He's the creator of all things. He is truth. He knows about math. I mean, y'all, young people should be praying in the Spirit. He's the creator of science and math and English or whatever languages. All these different things. Rocket science. Nursing. Military science. I mean, so James, you know this. There's so much in the military. That's not always used this way, but it's godly, biblical principles. And when they do that in the military, they have success. Because God's ways always work. To illustrate this point, Susie, why don't you come and share kind of a story, something to illustrate what I'm talking about.
He just asked me, did you have any stories? Didn't tell me what about. So good thing my story actually fits. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. You know, before we started the church, one of the things that we had a real difficult time doing was naming our church. Because we weren't a denominational church, so we weren't going to have, you know, just the second, third, fourth, or fifth Baptist church, you know. Where do you get a name for a church? God gives you the vision, where's the name going to come from? And so we did what, you know, probably most people would do. We got like directories. We got from a ministry that we follow. They have over 1,000 churches associated with them. And so we looked through all those names to see if one of those would be the name of our church. And we looked at them, and none of those were the name of our church. And then we looked, you know, high and low and everywhere round about, we were searching for what was the name of this church to be. And so, you know, one afternoon, this is before we started the church, we were just meeting in a Bible study at that point with just a couple of people, two couples from that eventually helped us found the church. But that afternoon, before we were going to meet that night, I'm just praying about that evening, not necessarily even praying about what are we going to call the church or anything, and I'm just laying across the bed. I just remember it very plainly, and I'm just praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. And as I began to pray in other tongues and just was praying and praying, there comes a time where you just know you hooked up with God. You know, I can pray in tongues at any time, at any moment. You know, I pray in tongues all the way through the grocery store every time I go. That's one of the best places to pray in tongues. But anywhere, anytime I'm alone, pretty much, I'm praying in tongues. And so there I am just praying, but it was more just, you know, you're hooking up with God. And then a little bit, I heard myself saying, it's the gospel, it's the gospel, it's the gospel. You know, Paul said, I'll pray in tongues and I'll pray with the understanding. And oftentimes when I'm praying in tongues, words, I'll be saying things in English that are coming from the same place that the tongues come. That didn't come out of my head. It's not like I pray down here and then all of a sudden then I pray. It actually just happens to be words that are inspired in the same way that the unknown tongues are inspired, the known tongues are inspired too. I just happen to understand them. And I heard myself saying, it's the gospel, it's the gospel, it's the gospel, it's the gospel. And so I'm going, oh, it's the gospel? You know, like my head's listening to what I'm saying, but it's, and I'm praying in other tongues and praying in English and praying in other tongues and not out of my head, but out of my heart. And in a minute, I said, it's the good news. It's the good news. And then immediately, Romans chapter 1, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Well, I just kept praying about that. It's the good news. It's good news, church. Later that day, Matt comes in, and I said, Matt, I just want to tell you about what happened when I was praying today. And I told him in the moment I said it, he said, that's it. That's what we've been waiting on. That's God. That night, we went over to the Bible study with our people that we were meeting with then, and we told them about it, and immediately, that's it, that's God, that's it, that's the name of the church, Good News Church. And from that moment, God began to then continue to confirm to us and bring scriptures. Jesus said in Luke 4, he stood up to minister, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news. And over and over, it just came alive in us. And I tell you, if there's one thing I know for sure that I've seen born out in my life, the name for this church is Good News Church. And that came from God. And I cannot tell you, I could stand here until dinner time and tell you thing after thing that came as a result just that same way. One day I was in the shower praying in the Holy Spirit. I'm either praying in the Holy Spirit in the shower or singing. And you would prefer that I pray. And so I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. And just, I wasn't praying about anything in particular. And the next thing I know, it came up in me, express. And by the time I got out of the shower, I had exploring our faith together, exhorting, praying, revealing our hearts, encouraging, serving, and supporting. It all came. Matt can tell you, it just came out. But it came as a result of praying in other tongues. And I tell you, just anything good that I've ever gotten came as a result of the Holy Spirit giving it to me as a result of praying in tongues. And I tell you, I don't know how people live without it, because it has made every bit of difference. It is a secret weapon. It is, Matt, you better get up. I'm getting really inspired. It is, I'm telling you, it is the best thing going that is supernatural. You can tap into God's power in a moment. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues as long as I can remember, even as a little child. I remember praying during a calculus test, not knowing how to do something, and suddenly it all started making sense to me. I mean, all the way through school, all the way through college, writing papers, I don't know what to do, just praying in other tongues. Situation, circumstances, thing after thing, and God supernaturally helped me. But I'm telling you, if you aren't praying in other tongues every day, you are missing out on a supernatural life.
Okay, so the big elephant in the room is how do I initiate that, what she's talking about? How do I get that? How do I receive that? Or, I mean, if God has that for me, how is that going to work in my life? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Turn over to John 14. John 14, Gospel of John. Really encourage you, you're interested in what I'm saying today, read John 14, John 15, John 16. Yes. Awesome chapters. Yes. Talk about the Holy Spirit. But we'll just pick out a verse here. John 14, verse 16, Amplified, says, "And I will ask the Father," he's going to tell us here how we're going to receive this, "and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Comforter." Now, in King James, it says helper. In the Greek, it's parakletos. And really, what that means is one that comes alongside to help. And let me just illustrate that real quick. I'm going to move this piano. Rawr! Mighty man. Mighty man's getting nowhere here. Tom, come and help me, will you? All right, you get over there, and on the count of three, we're going to pick this thing up. One, two, three.
Praise the Lord.
But if I could do it in video, we would have picked it up. And we could have, but we didn't want to show off. But what did Tom do? And say we picked that thing up. Did Tom pick it up himself? No, I was there. But he came alongside to help. And that's what the Holy Spirit does.
Praise Lord.
He comes alongside to help us. Help us pray.
Amen.
Help us with our day. Give us wisdom.
Yes.
He adds extra. When you add something to your natural, what do you get? Supernatural.
Praise the Lord.
Thanks, brother. And we'll move that later. Two men will move you, that's right. But Amplified has other names. And you know, the Holy Spirit is His name, but He's got some nicknames. Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Truth Revealer, Truth Giver, Encourager. That He may remain with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. Until they hear. Welcome, take it to heart. because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives within you constantly and will be in you. Turn over to Acts chapter 1. Tom, let's get our illustration ready over here, please. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John baptized with water. You can just put it on the steps, please. The word baptized is not, and I was sprinkled when I was a baby in the denomination I grew up in. I was sprinkled when I was, they called that baptism. But, and I understand that, because you don't want to be dunking babies, but baptized means to submerge. And so if you're going to be, and I promise I'll be gentle, but when I baptize you, I'm going to submerge you.
Yes.
And I usually count to 10 while you're under. Jennifer, I baptized you. Was it okay? You're still alive, right? Okay. John baptized with water, but many days from now, you shall be baptized, placed in, introduced into the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, but you shall receive power. Greek, it's dynamis, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. All right, let me illustrate this here. There's a difference, and the Scriptures make it clear, there's a difference between being born of the Spirit, because you cannot call Jesus as Lord without the Holy Spirit, Scriptures say. There's a difference between being born of the Spirit than being filled with the Spirit. So the Spirit of God is in you. When you're born again, He's in you. But there's something after salvation. And Jesus called it, He called it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why we say it. We could say filled with the Spirit. It says the Spirit fills you up and comes upon you. So I just wanted to illustrate what happens when someone is baptized in the Holy Spirit. And see, you receive it. You don't earn it. It's a gift, just like righteousness, healing, salvation. It's something you receive. And so there's been misunderstanding that I've got to be qualified. How can you qualify yourself to be saved or to be filled with the Spirit? You can't. So you've got to receive it as a gift. I mean, who got a Christmas gift this year? Was it hard for you to get that present and unwrap it? This is how easy it is. But let me illustrate what happens when the Spirit fills you up. Can you all see this? Do I need to come up another step? Can you all see that? Oh, you want to do that? No, I'll have Nate do it. You're just so tender and... All right, Nate, come on up here. All right. Do you know what your assignment is? No. You hold that. Okay. Well, your hand's going to get wet. Okay. All right. So, the Spirit of God's in you. But when you're filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit, look what happens. What's happening? It's coming up on you. Let's give Nate a hand. And how could that be a bad thing? That's good. Real quick, over to Acts chapter 2. Nate, I appreciate you putting up with me, man. He says by faith. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost comes, Pente means 50, 49 plus 1 from the, it's a big Jewish feast, 50 days from Passover. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place. See, Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem. Yeah. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing of a violent tempest blast and filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed and which settled on each of them. And they were all filled. Everybody say filled.
Filled.
Diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit. And what happened next? They began to speak in other different foreign languages. As the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue and in appropriate words. And so it's an unknown language. It's a language by the Spirit. And I want to say this. This is distinguished from the gift of the Spirit in talking about in Corinthians, which is one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. That's a whole other message. But this is something that you can, it's with you every day. It's the gift of the Spirit is as the Spirit wills, certain times. But at this praying in an unknown language, praying by the Spirit, is at any time initiated by you. Now, last scripture. I know I've given you a lot of scriptures, but Acts chapter 8. And I'm going to drive it home here. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Now follow me. Everybody, pay attention. Follow closely here. Acts chapter 5. Philip, one of the 7 waiters, the deacon, not the apostle, went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed Christ. What's he doing? Preaching the gospel, the good news. Proclaim the Christ and Messiah to them, the people. Now turn to verse 12. Look at verse 12. And let's look what happened. But when they believed the good news. So what happened? If they believed the good news, what happened? They got saved, right? But when they believed the good news, the gospel about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, as Philip preached, they were baptized. Now here it's talking about baptism in water. And we're not talking about that today, but being submerged in water. It's again, after you're saved, baptized in water. And we do that here, if you haven't been. They baptized both men and women. No respecter of persons. All right, now let's look at verse 14. The apostles heard about what had happened here, that the gospel had been preached in a new area, people got saved, they responded. Now let's look at verse 14. And they came down and prayed for them that the Samaritans might receive the Holy Spirit. This is after they were saved. Did y'all see that? Verse 14. They were saved already, baptized in water. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them, meaning filled them up and came on them. But they had only been baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then the apostles laid their hands on them one by one, and they received. Look at that word, they received the Holy Spirit. Now we do that. I received the Holy Spirit in my room in St. Cloud, Minnesota. The first time I tried to receive, I was in a Volkswagen with my brother Pat in northern Minnesota, late at night, about 2 in the morning. And we had heard about this, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we wanted it. Anything we saw in the Word, we wanted. So imagine this scene. We're sitting in our Volkswagen, his Volkswagen, which is, that's a whole other story in itself. Almost killed me about 3 times. Almost burned alive in that car. I have fond memories. But anyway, he's in the driver's seat, and I'm over here. And we're both sitting there, waiting on the Holy Spirit to make us speak in tongues. We sat there for 2 hours. Who felt like an idiot? I blamed him. You're my older brother. You doofus. I didn't use those words, but something like that. It's always his fault. But I didn't understand. I had to yield. He's not going to make me do anything. And he's wanting to give this to me, but I got to receive it by faith. You got to see it in the Word. You receive it by faith, but then you got to yield and cooperate with him. I've got to open my mouth and speak. Well, how do you do that? It's difficult to, but I know. I mean, I prayed with people. It's happened to me. It's just I started speaking in my language and was trusting God by faith, and I started speaking in another language. And it was real weak at first and sounded like gibberish, and I was wondering, is this it? But like working out with muscles, you the more you do it, the bigger the muscle gets, and it develops into, right now, it's a language. It's fluent. But it may not start that way. So, you know, the apostles, at first, they laid hands on people. And we're going to do that today for those that want to receive. But you can just receive. You can receive where you're sitting right now. It's by faith. I need every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Now, we're not in your church. So I give you permission today just to be bold and fearless. And if you step out and be bold, you may not know what you're doing, it's okay. There's grace here today. We're not judging anybody. We're just trying to help people and be a blessing. But if you're here today and you don't speak in tongues or pray in an unknown language like we've been talking about today, and you want to, you want it. You may not know how to do it, you know, we're going to help you. But if you want it and you say, yes, Pastor, I want that, I want you to boldly lift your hand right now. I see one hand. I see two hands. Who else? I see another hand. Anyone else? Just be bold. Your heart may be beating real fast. And on the inside it's kind of stirred up. That's the Holy Spirit. Yield to Him. Yield to Him. Another hand right here. Who else? Another hand right here. Just yield to Him. Don't be afraid. It says over in Luke, that if you ask for the Lord for, if you ask Him for bread, He's not going to give you a stone. He's going to give you what you ask Him for. Anybody else, just boldly raise your hand. Say, yes, Pastor, I want to receive today. Today's my day. All right, one more invitation, and then we're going to pray for folks. Maybe you've received already, and maybe at one time, You spoke in tongues and prayed in tongues, but you just haven't in a long time. Or maybe you just don't feel confident in it, and it's weak. Well, today's your day for a breakthrough. And for the power of God to come on you and just a release. Because it's something you need on a daily basis. If that's you, boldly raise your hand and say, yes, Pastor, I want a breakthrough today. Hand over here. Who else? Hand over here. Hand right here. Who else? Praise God. Another hand over here. Glory to God. Now everybody, let's stand. Please. And now, you may have not raised your hand. That's okay. I want you to do this. And I'm not out to embarrass anybody. We're not that church. We're not judging anybody. We're rejoicing with you. The Bible says when one person is saved, all of heaven rejoices. They have a party in heaven. But I want you... And we smile because we look at our neighbor and we know they've got it already. But just do me a favor and let's not do that. Let's take this seriously because lives...